Now we will look now for a short time in the chapter which was read, the Lord helping us, and we will read the first two verses. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And especially the words, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Which is a remarkable statement, to say the least, because, of course, we are sinners, and the man that is receiving them is sinless. And this is what is said about him, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And it's a very precious truth, too, to all who know themselves to be sinners, but it's pretty meaningless to those who don't know themselves to be sinners. It's a bit of a puzzle, to say the least. But persons who do know themselves as sinners often dwell here in this truth and communicate with the good God of eternity on the basis of what we have here. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, one of the remarkable things about this truth is that it is said by the enemies of Christ. That puts a stamp upon it when the wicked can testify to a truth and to the reality of the truth that was in Christ, because it was so obvious and plain. They are actually testifying to it. Because it is the Pharisees and scribes, we are told, who murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And it is a fact, of course, that the ungodly have to testify to the truths that are in the Word of God so often as they see these truths played out, as it were, in the lives of the people of God, who are the only Bible they've got, in one sense. They're not Bible readers. They know something about the Bible, but they can see that there are godly people around. And that is a wonderful thing in itself. Of course, if godly people don't live a godly life, then that gives the wicked occasion to say that the church is full of hypocrites. But here, the ungodly are speaking about Christ because they can see something in the action and activity of Christ. And so it should be in the action and activity of professing people that they would see something in us that is not in themselves and doesn't belong to the world, and communicates to them something of heaven, something of the eternal world. So how important it is for every one of us in making a profession that we would show forth Christ. The Pharisees, of course, were showing forth religion, but it was putrid. And we've got to be careful not to have that kind of religion, which is nauseating. But humble dependence upon the one and glorious God of eternity, a humble believer, is a picture of the reality that there is such a thing as communion between a sinner and God. Pious, humble person. Well, the Pharisees saw something in Christ, and this is their conclusion: this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. It is a solemn reality, too, when we think of devils. They believe and tremble. They are aware of the world of spirits, they're aware of the eternal God. And they are vicious spirits against God, but they believe it, and they tremble. And the truth is, friend, those who are professing Christ should persuade others of the reality of Christ. And God's people can only mourn how far short they come of that distinctness that is and ought to be peculiar to the people of God. You can imagine the awful disgrace that David brought upon the cause of truth when he did what he did. And that, of course, can happen to the people of God. So how careful the people of God should always be to be holy and pious and to walk softly and to shadow the good God that they are serving and the gracious Saviour that they are seeking to follow. Well, just saying these things by way of introduction to come now to this part of the truth. This man receiveth sinners. It is on that ground that any person comes to a profession of religion. This is very basic. This man receiveth sinners. Now, the fact of the matter, of course, is that it is not only said by the enemies of Christ. The more important thing, and the altogether important thing, is that it is said by Christ himself in so many ways. And of course, it must be said by the people of God. Of course, in their walk and conversation, particularly, although they may not be very able at speaking and witnessing with their mouth. They may have difficulty with that, but we have a body, we've got a lifestyle. So there is this message then going out about this man, that he receives sinners. This man we know to be Christ, we know to be the Son of God, we know to be the glorious person that he is. And so, when we look at the life of Christ, the whole picture of Christ, and the whole business of Christ, is that he is receiving sinners, receiving them to himself. You know, when you receive someone into your house, if you do it in a genuine way, there is a welcome, and you don't feel as if you were in a strange place. Well, that and much more is true of Christ. This man receiveth sinners. And he, in receiving a sinner like yourself, if you will have him, there are certain things, of course, that have come to your attention and have come to your mind and have been impressed upon you, and you understand this matter about Christ, that he receives sinners. You know, by his actions, how he received people that were lame and blind and deaf. And when someone would hear, be it 100 miles away, such and such a deaf person, such and such a blind person has been received by Christ, by this noted person. Well, Christ's lifestyle is full of that. It is not only his receiving those who were lame or whatever physical ailment they had, whatever poverty they had. The principal communication on the part of Christ was to receive sinners. That's people like us who were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, who are bad, who are ungodly. That is what astonished the Pharisees and the scribes, of course, that such a thing can hardly be possible. It can't be true, because they were so holy in their eyes, and their concept of the Messiah was that it would be them, because they were so holy, that he would receive. But the very opposite was true of Christ. His receiving, embracing, By way of invitation, for example. And here it says the publicans and sinners came to Christ for to hear him. So there must have been something about Christ, obviously, whereby they who were outcasts, publicans and sinners, could sit down with him. The enemies of Christ would say that he is the friend of publicans and sinners. So that there is this whole reality of the person of Christ, of the life of Christ, towards sinners like us, towards poor, wretched sinners like us on our way to a lost eternity. As I said, by way of invitation, by way of command. And that is what the gospel is. It's full of invitation. It's full of command. And in a very practical way, that he does not turn any sinner away. Well, that is the glorious person that is spoken of here. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That's how it was, of course, in the Old Testament, as also in the New Testament. And we go to the Old Testament and we see instances of poor, wretched sinners coming in contact with the God of salvation, and they are received. What a poor soul Rahab the harlot was. And there was something about the revealed religion from Jehovah that she saw, not least this, that she would like to be associated with it. And that was Christ, of course, to not only to the Jews, but to the strangers. And if we take some of the gospel directives in the Old Testament, speaking to sinners, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. That's Christ in the gospel. That's Christ to sinners. That's Christ to these wicked Jews and strangers who would come into their midst. That they had to be good to the strangers, for they themselves were strangers, as you remember, in Egypt. That it was a shadow of the heart of Christ, even to these Gentiles, these strangers, that they were welcome to come to him. This man receiveth sinners. Well, what a wonderful thing is this is. And we think about the Gibeonites, of course, what they did, and the deceit on the part of the Gibeonites, who were anxious to be received. Yeah, the subtle way they went about it, which we would not approve of. But the point is, they were anxious to be received, and they were received. And once these Gibeonites were received, no one would dare put a finger upon these Gibeonites, for this man receiveth sinners. Saul endeavored or attempted to put his finger upon him, upon them. So we're just making the point in connection with Christ, the great head of the church, receiving to himself sinners, lost sinners, hell-deserving sinners. And these Gibeonites were heathens, living in idolatry. They had the wisdom to know that these people who have come to destroy us, Gideon, if only we could, he is the very person in whom we may have deliverance. They had a grasp of that. And as I said, although they got home, as it were, into Zion, into the church, in a subtle way, once they were there, it's pretty obvious that they were not to be interfered with, that they were not in any way to be prevented from enjoying the company of Israel and all the benefits that they were enjoying. That is Christ. showing us how ready he is to receive all sorts to himself. So you have that in the Old Testament. You have it also, of course, in the New Testament when he came into this world. How earnest he was to show himself as a friend of the lost and the hell deserving. People who were so offensive, even to the godly, not having a proper understanding of the mission of Christ, of the purpose of Christ. And they were totally puzzled when he befriended the woman of Samaria. But he, Christ, is telling these disciples who were lacking in understanding, and the church was lacking in understanding in connection with this great matter, he was telling them that he receives sinners. And if it were not for the fact that Christ received sinners, there'd be no church here. It's all to do with Christ. It's all to do with Christ coming into the world. This is a faithful sin and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to receive sinners. So that is a tremendous point, and a powerful point, which the Pharisees and the scribes could not understand, and they murmured or they spoke against him. So there you have the wicked speaking the truth because of the way that Christ behaved himself, the way that Christ acted towards persons like us. So here is a wonderful thing for us, that no sinner need despair. No sinner need to go, as it were, away from this place, hopelessly depressed, because this man does not receive sinners. No, it's not like that. And to have a grasp of this is to have a grasp of the gospel, is to have a grasp of the person of Christ, is to have a grasp of the truth, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God in heaven receives sinners. The Son receives sinners. The Holy Spirit, the triune God, receives them. You have the Pharisees on the one side, and you have the sinners on the other side. Two different parties. And in our carnality and in our misunderstanding of God, how we would think, surely it's the Pharisees. No, it's not. It's sinners. A sinner, a criminal. What a criminal the thief on the cross was. A sinner, the lowest. And the many characters in the scriptures that are the lowest of the low. Can you think of anybody as low as the prodigal son? And the elder son is totally baffled. He is totally baffled as to why this rag of a man should be bosomed by his father. And if we are taught of God, friend, it is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful reality. This man receiveth sinners. Now, the whole concept of receiving sinners, of course, is to give them the kiss of reconciliation. You have that in the parable of the prodigal son. How the father fell on his neck and kissed him. And that's why Christ befriends sinners. that they would be reconciled to him, that they would be reconciled to God. In our first covenant head, we've broken away from God. And we are lost, and we're on our way to a lost eternity. Here is the good God through Christ, working in a wonderful way, giving promises and sending this man into the world. There may be reconciliation between a lost sinner and God. It's not possible for man himself to provide something whereby God would be reconciled to him. That is what the Pharisees were desperately, desperately trying to do. That cannot be done. They were only making themselves an offense, and more offensive to Christ, when they were ignoring the way of reconciliation to be brought back into communion with God, to have God as their Father. And for sinners like us to have God as our Father, by nature we are of our father the devil, and to have God as our Father, and to have Christ as our brother, our elder brother, and the Holy Spirit as our Comforter, and to have that reconciliation, there's nothing you can do to bring that about. You are of your father the devil, and to be in the family of God and the family of Christ, it's God who does it. And God is serious, and God is earnest towards sinners like us in the gospel, that we may be sons and daughters. So Christ befriending sinners, is that they may be embraced. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and that they may be saved with an everlasting salvation. That's Christ. This man receiveth sinners. Not as some thought when he fed the thousands. Of course, he does that too. He's very gracious to the unworthy sinners that we are, to give us our daily bread, to give us a drop of water, a crumb of bread. It's out of his kindness, whether he gives us little or much. It's all from God. Although, sadly, the more poor sinners get in their providence, the more likely they are to forget God. Well, that's their sin. So this man receiveth sinners, yet it is principally their immortal soul. If we come to God honestly for our daily bread, give us this day our daily bread as we are taught, he is gracious to give us that. And a marvelous thing about his graciousness is to give us that. We don't ask for it so often. But God is a person. Christ is a person who gives. He gives. This man receiveth sinners that he may give them eternal life, that they may be given what they need for eternity. What a wonderful thing this is then. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this man receiveth sinners. And it ought to be a great question with ourselves, this altogether important matter, a reception from God. And it's all wrought out by Christ. He's done all the things whereby sinners like us may be received into the presence of God through the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the truth is, those who understand this appreciate this and know a little of this, they are amazed. They're amazed that this is how it is. So that is a great question. Of course, for every one of us, when the enemies of Christ have to say here, this man receiveth sinners. Is it so that we are not among these people who have been received by Christ? Only because we're like the Pharisees who won't have Christ. Well, that is exceedingly sad. Exceedingly sad. But further, and we must never forget this, in Christ receiving sinners, you can see in verse 1 that they drew near unto him, all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. There are obligations put upon sinners, while he receives sinners. Sinners are obliged to come to him. They have an obligation to go to him. They have a duty to come into his presence. And to come into his presence in the manner that he himself has instituted. How did the publican come into the presence of God? By prayer. And what was the but of his prayer? That he was a sinner. And what was his confession? That he was a sinner. And what more was his confession? That he needed mercy. Now that's an obligation upon every one of us, young or old. We're called to come. We could not say this man receiveth sinners unless we knew that he actually was calling us, unless we knew he was inviting us, unless we knew he was commanding us. And if we sincerely believe that this man receives sinners, and we know ourselves as sinners, we will actually go to him, exactly as these people here. Then drew near they unto him, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Coming to hear Christ. Coming to church to hear about Christ. To hear who he is, what he has done, how gracious he is, and that with God there is forgiveness. And as we said regarding the publican, he came to God. He had something to say to God. He was aware that he was a sinner. He was telling God he was a sinner. He was aware that the only answer for his condition was atonement. God be merciful. It's making atonement for me. And we hear so much in the preaching of the Word of God about atonement, remedy. And while God is so gracious to receive sinners, and Christ so gracious to receive sinners into his bosom, as the Father here in the parable fell on his neck and kissed him. It's not, we spoke about reconciliation, to be reconciled. And it's not without Christ making that atonement whereby a sinner like you and myself be reconciled to God. What a gracious person to receive sinners and at the same time to do all that is necessary for that poor sinner, so that when the gospel is declared by Christ, look unto me and be ye saved, be sure there is reconciliation in Christ, sufficient in Christ. He came into the world to save sinners. That is, he made reconciliation for them. It's our obligation to go to Christ. It's our obligation to call upon Christ. It's in the gospel. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. All that is put on us. It's put on us. If you don't seek to engage yourself in that manner, well, that's your sin. That's your sin. So this man receiveth sinners. We cannot speak like this. This man receiveth sinners, and that will be it. All will be fine in the end. It will not be fine in the end. For the sinner is obliged, just as these publicans and sinners, to hear him, to sit and hear what he has to say, to hear his invitations, to hear about himself, to hear about his power to save, to deliver from the wrath which is to come. There's a wonderful, wonderful story. There's no story like it. What a privilege to know that there is this person in the Scriptures receiving sinners like us. Well, that is the great question, friend, for yourself and myself today. And here we are at the beginning of a communion season, and surely this is the beginning of the life of every person who would like to think of themselves as believers, that they know all about this, they've heard it, and their desire is to be received by Christ, and they come to realize, yes, there's a genuine attitude, exercise, showing forth of Christ by himself as one who accepts sinners to himself, without money and without price. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. How free all that is. So there's an obligation put upon the sinner by Christ to receive and rest upon him alone for salvation. That sinner, of course, there's one thing sure about that sinner. He's not like the Pharisee. He's not like the Sadducee. The very thought of being a sinner, the very thought of being like these publicans, others knew full well that they were sinners. So they come to Christ. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I'm lost. Yes, I'm hell deserving. My sins are more than the hairs upon my head. Well, having come to that, of course, Christ who receives sinners will graciously kiss that poor soul. Thy sins are forgiven thee. We're not left in a position, surely, whereby we've got to conclude, after all these exercises of asking and seeking, nothing. It's not like that. We know God's people can have doubts and fears and are plagued with unbelief. But there will be something, I assure you, of a sense of communion with this glorious person who forgives sin. Some sense of the sweetness of reception a believer is the happiest person in the whole world. There are many things in life that make us happy, and so we should be happy. They are blessings from God, temporal blessings. We should be thankful. We should acknowledge God. But here is the supreme happiness of having found a Savior, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This will do me for time, this will do me for eternity. Nothing else will. Now, once a soul comes to that, that's not a one-off, you know. The whole life of this person now is Christ's word. They bring Christ, as it were, wherever they go. Or Christ is seen in their life, wherever they go. We know there are situations where it's very, very hard and difficult to be what you ought to be. Poor Aaron, it was very hard for him to be what he ought to have been, and by reason of the fear of these hooligans, he made a golden calf. That was his excuse to Moses, although there's no excuse for doing wrong, for there's always grace from God to do what is right. But be that as it is, Aaron is still a man of God. And Aaron goes through and shows himself to be a man of God. And all sinners who have come to know this man receiveth sinners. I'm a sinner. I sought the Lord. He heard. He delivered me. And that is their frame of mind, their lifestyle, walking with Christ, talking with Christ, seeking Christ. And a wonderful thing is, the poor child of God falls, well, how Aaron fell, how David fell. But you'll almost find them coming back to Christ, and it's the good old gospel way they come back to Christ. There's no other way back to Christ. This man receiveth sinners. I've offended him. Is there something new I've got to do? Is there something he expects of me? No, there's nothing you can do. You've blotted the book again. But it's back to Christ. Back to Christ to bemoan your iniquities. To mourn over your weakness, that you would do that kind of thing. But here is a child of God, and they are always with Christ. Although they would backslide ever so far. So it's not a one-off. They are now Christians. And that is of God. It's not of the natural man. So this man who receiveth sinners and invites sinners to himself, of course he has wrought in them wonderfully. And now that they are brought to him, they are kept with Christ, and he keeps them, and they're in the hollow of his hand, and none shall pluck them out of my hand. But there's one thing true about them. They'll always be confessing that they are sinners. Always. Some people think when a person comes to profess Christ that there's something there, someone special. Is especially holy. Their confession is that they are sinners, and Christ is the Savior of sinners. And I've never known myself to be anything but a sinner. I remember Alec McLennan, some here, I doubt it, it doesn't matter. He was a missionary in Dingwall, and he was speaking at a fellowship meeting although some people think there's not much value in fellowship meetings. But I must say for myself, I found them very valuable. And this is what he said. I was a young Christian at the time. He said, I began my Christian life by saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, I tell you this, he said, I expect to finish my Christian life with the same prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the child of God, confessing Christ as the Savior, confessing themselves as the sinner, the lost sinner, and Christ the saving Savior. And it is a wonderful relationship. And there is not a relationship in this world as wonderful as that. This man receiveth sinners. Now that is, of course, the very opposite of the Pharisees. The very opposite. This is the very opposite of poor Christless souls, although they are sitting under the gospel. They've never come to wonder and be full of wonder at the great and the holy God of eternity. Holy, holy, holy. That God receives sinners. They never come to see and understand that. That was the Pharisee, as I said. This was their great problem. Oh yes, they could see God receiving good people, but they could never comprehend God receiving bad people. That was totally beyond their thinking. And that's just the natural man. That's just yourself and myself. You can't see it. So we're polishing ourselves. We're so busy trying to be good. You'll never make it. We've got to come down to the level that God describes us, lost, filthy, and that all my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You've got to come right down there. The poor Pharisee never saw it, couldn't see it. And when Saul of Tarsus, he saw it by the grace of God. And he has got some remarkable things to say about sinners. And that remarkable truth, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's a puzzle to the natural man. It's not a puzzle to the man that's taught of God. No way, it's a wonder. Now, it is these people, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. It's only a sinner that can eat and dine with Christ spiritually. You know, those who were lame, there's only these lame persons who could come to Christ and have communion with Christ about their lameness. No one else. The man that wasn't lame, what's he going to come to Christ for? I'm not lame. It's like that, friend, spiritually. When you realize you're a sinner, one of the great marvels and wonders, you can have communion with Christ. You can dine with Christ. He came into the world to save a sinner like me. So you can have communion in the gospel. That's where all communion begins, in the gospel. You're communicating with God. You're saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You're speaking to God in prayer. And it's a wonderful dining. to dine with the Son of God. Who came into the world to save sinners. And it's only the child of God that knows it. The Pharisee doesn't know it. And it's something that the people of God want to know more and more about. There's great things in connection with the things of God. They're beyond us. But there's nothing as sweet as the basics. When we're hungry and we've got little money in our pockets and we see in the store basics, basic foods, and they're cheaper. Well, there's something spiritual, friend, the basics. I've got nothing, I'm in poverty. And basics for a beggar is that the something they need is for nothing. And that's the gospel, the basics. I'm a poor man, I'm a poor sinner. I'm lost, I'm going to hell. And the basics is that Christ has everything I need. And Joseph's brethren, the basics of their situation was their poverty. And that poverty could be filled down there in Egypt from their brother Joseph. And that's communion. And that's wonderful communion. And that's the beginning of all communion with this glorious person. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And spiritually, friend, think of a triune God having communion with a poor sinner like yourself, if you're in Christ. But if you're not in Christ, there's still the invitations. There's still the invitations. They will always be there. And that's one of the wonderful marks of a genuine church. That sinners are invited to Christ. When the gospel door is closed, you want to stay away from there. Well, friends, that these things would be riveted in our very being, this glorious Saviour will receive a sinner like yourself. And on the day of judgment, you'll remember this truth, if you're Christless. And you'll know it's true. And that's a very solemn thing, you know, about the judgment seat. While sinners were in this world, they did not believe this and they did not believe that. In the day of judgment, you'll believe it, all right. But now is the time to believe it. And believe it in such a way as that you receive and rest upon Christ alone for salvation. May he bless his word to us.